I don't do a lot of DIY in my household, so I went to my wife and said, can I borrow a bit of wood? And she said, don't take that bit of wood because it's not very nice and it's a bit grotty and it's seen better days, but I thought it was perfect, really. Just a simple bit of wood. Seems a bit of an irony, doesn't it, that a carpenter who spent probably many of his early years carving wood and dealing with wood should then die on a bit of wood that was very rough and uncarved. Just seems very sort of ironical, really. But then again, I guess not, because if you think wood was used for all sorts of things in those days, wood would have been used for making sort of cooking utensils, would have been used for building as well. So lintels above doors were made from wood. So I'll just put it up here. There, you'd walk under the lintel, and often in olden days it was made of wood. Indeed, we have some lintels made of wood at our house. What happened was we just had an extension. Well, not just a while ago, we had an extension. Many years, in fact, sorry. Just had an extension. Okay, about 20 years ago we had an extension. I can't remember how long ago it was. Anyway, we had an extension done at some point. And what happened was that in order to make it look all old and authentic, it was actually a garage that we converted, and so we wanted to make it look old. And so the entrance, my wife Ruth went down to the local dump and found the most grotty bit of wood that she could find, brought it back and then asked the builders to put it in to look like it was a lintel. And if you come round to our place, there's this dreadful bit of wood that is so dreadful that it looks like an authentic lintel, but of course it's not, it's cosmetic. But in those days, basically, bits of wood saved people from the house caving in. Yeah, so you'd have them above doors, and as you walked through the door, you obviously didn't want the door to fall on your head, so you'd have the bit of wood there to protect you. And of course, other things. I think Jesus may have been involved in the boat building business as well. He may have used wood to carve the odd fishing boat or bits and pieces from fishing boats on Lake Galilee. I think his father's business was very successful. Joseph of Arimathea would have, Joseph, his father, would have had a very successful business. And so wood, by and large, would have been used for positive purposes. But in those days, of course, wood was also used for negative purposes. Let's move on. So there we've got some positive purposes. We've got ploughs, and we've got yokes, and we've got fishing boats. And finally, we have negative purposes. So the Romans would have built siege weapons out of wood. And of course, they also built the most terrifying thing of all, which was the cross. The cross had a number of purposes. It was easy to make, so it was easy to put together one. It basically was a means of deterring criminals and dealing with rebellious revolutionaries. So especially in Israel, there were a number of people that wanted independence for Israel. They wanted to be released from the Roman oppressors. And what the Romans would do would they crucify people in order to discourage rebellion. They'd done it for many years. So 50 years previously, Spartacus led a rebellion in Rome, which failed, and they crucified all the rebels, 6,000 of them. And so it was a means of dealing with rebellion. It was a means of dealing with wrongdoing and punishing in the worst possible way offenders. And indeed, it would last many days on occasion. So it was drawn out. And finally, of course, crucifixion was humiliating. So people would be hung up in full view without any clothes on, and they would die naked and humbled. In paintings, we see pictures of Jesus with loincloths for the sake of, I think, sort of discretion. But most people were just crucified without any clothes at all as a means of humbling them and humiliating them. And so isn't it amazing, really? And this is the thing that we just want to reflect on Easter Sunday, is that the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, should go from such heights to such depths in being crucified. He would go from being alongside the Father in heaven to being at the very, very bottom of being humbled and humiliated on a cross. In fact, the Old Testament says this: cursed is a man who dies on a cross.
They are to be reviled above all else. They are to be pitied. They are in such shame. And the Old Testament says that. In fact, they're to be buried immediately so that they don't desecrate the land, is what it says in the Old Testament. And so we have this amazing truth that Jesus goes from the Father's side to being crucified for our sake. And so we have to think, well, why would he do this? Why would God's Son come and allow himself to be crucified? What would be the purpose? Some act of martyrdom? Some act of, but as Christians, the Bible makes plain why Jesus did this for us. We have verses like this. He who knew no sin became sin. He who was without sin became the personification of sin. He was filled with our sin on the cross. Or by his stripes we are healed. Or behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. That's an amazing verse, isn't it? He is able, that's Jesus, to save completely those who come to God through him. And so I want to share, someone shared, I think it was Eric, didn't he, shared about when he first became a Christian. And I want to share when I first became a Christian. I was back in my teenage years. I was 16, similar age to Eric. I was at a Bible camp, a Claygate Youth Fellowship Bible camp down at Monkton Coombe School. And a guy, Ted, came down from Scotland, and he travelled all day and arrived late at night. And he spoke this brief message, which was called the Bridge to Life illustration. And he said he was tired, he said he was weary, he said he didn't do it very well. I spoke to him many years later, and he said it was probably the worst talk he'd ever given in his entire life. And yet God spoke powerfully through it, because it's the gospel. And there's power in the gospel, aside from those who speak it. So I'm going to repeat it very simply, and there won't be much skill in the way that I repeat it, but I'll say again, there is power. The Bridge to Life goes like this. We have a picture of man, and we picture of God. And in the beginning, man and God were together, and they walked in the garden, and they fellowshipped, and they spoke, and they were in harmony. But as you all know, man sinned. Man and woman, Adam and Eve, were separated from God by their sin, by their selfishness, by their independence. And that sin continues to separate us to this very day. And I don't find it difficult to think that I am or was a sinner. Yeah, I think of the many things that I've done wrong. I think of the deceptions. I think of the when I was young, I used to steal stuff as a boy. I used to go into a sweet shop and nick sweeties with my mate Andy. And even up to this present day, I'm still slipping up. And we've preached about this, haven't we? We've preached that actually sometimes we do sin, although we're not actually sinners, we're saints, and we can choose not to sin. But even so, I still do things wrong. I find it easy to think that I've committed sins. And I hope you're the same here this morning. I hope that you find it easy to think so as well. Because if you don't, I think you're living in a bit of self-deception, actually. I think you're living a bit of a lie. Those of you that think perhaps you're perfect or you've not done much wrong in your life or there's not that much, there are all sorts of sins that basically are about us wanting our own way, about me being at the center of everything. And we've both done things that we've all done things that, in a sense, drive towards that drive towards the terrifying I, towards the domineering, tyrannical me that lies in each of us. And so this sin separates man from God. And the Bible says because this sin separates man from God, the wages of sin is death. That actually, because we are separated from God by our sin, we're not in fellowship with him, and therefore we are subject to his judgment and to his punishment. And as a result of that we deserve to go to hell, that we deserve to go to a place that is in permanent separation from God the Father, a place where we won't know his company, where we won't know the company of other people, a place that is very sad, really. And that is what we deserve, that sin brings death and judgment. But if we move on to the next slide, we have a means of getting across. Now, before I talk about Jesus, I just want to say that we can do different things to try and bridge the gap between ourselves and God, can't we? We can try and be good. We can try and pull our socks up. We can try and pray a lot. Or we can try and go to church regularly. Or we can try and do all sorts of things in order to bridge the gap between ourselves and God. Many people try many things, and they're all very worthy and all very good. But actually, the Bible makes it clear that by our own endeavors, by our own efforts, we cannot reach God, that we can't bridge the gap from our side. So we have that man, and he may try and get across on his own, and he may try all sorts of different things, being good, being righteous, praying a lot. But actually, despite his efforts, he is doomed to fail. But then a solution arrives in the form of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross by God's express will, it says in Acts. And God sent his Son to die on the cross for us, to take away our sin, to take away the penalty for our sin, to give us new life and to make us whole again. And so what happens is this cross that was used to, in a sense, be a curse for Christ becomes a bridge. And that's, I guess, is the whole point of it. Is that the cross then becomes a bridge by which we can walk from death on this side over to life on this side. Yeah? God provided it. God sent his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that is the simplicity of the gospel. And so what happens is we are invited, and indeed I want to invite us this morning to, we're going to bow our heads, and I'm just going to pray that if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior this morning, he is very, very welcome to come and meet with you. Equally also, if you want to spend time and think about this and talk to us after the service, you're more than welcome to do so. There are many here who would love to share their story about how they first came to know the great Lord Jesus Christ. So if we just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, you came to planet Earth, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And you lived amongst us and you died. And today we celebrate the fact that you rose again. And as dawn broke and the tombstone was rolled away, and as you emerged, death was conquered, sin was conquered, Satan was conquered, the enemy was conquered, and you are alive. And Lord, I want to thank you that you offer that gift of salvation to anyone here, a free gift, not something we earn, not something we deserve, not something that has any merit of our own. Nothing that we can do can be good enough to earn your free gift of salvation. You offer it freely. Lord, I just want to pray that if there's anyone here who is brave enough or willing enough or recognizing enough or moved by the Holy Spirit enough to accept you as their Lord and Savior, they would do so today. And so I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. And if you want to pray it in your heart, you're more than welcome to do so. Lord Jesus, I accept that I'm a sinner. I accept that I've done wrong things. I accept that I've done selfish things. I accept that I've wanted to be in charge, that I've wanted to be in control. I've accepted that I've placed myself on the throne of my life. But Lord, today, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I want to place you on the throne of my life. And I want to place you in charge. And I want to place you at the center. And Lord, I confess my sins. I confess the things that I've done wrong. I am sorry. and I accept the fact that your death on the cross cancels the debt and makes me whole again. In Jesus' precious name, amen.